Scripture says there's one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and most important is in you all. Can the church say praise the Lord? Amen. We thank God for all the testimonies. Amen. We thank God for the praise team and ushering in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's so important that we have God's anointing when we're in church. Amen. Down south, when I used to go to the Baptist church, they used to always say, Lord, we can't do nothing till you come. How many know we really can't do anything until God comes? For without his anointing, we can do nothing. So every service, amen, we want God to be there before we get there. We want God to be there while we're here. And when we leave, we still want God to be with us. Can the church say praise the Lord? We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Our scripture reading will be come from Genesis chapter 19. And it's going to be a little lengthy reading today. And all of us know the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. But you know, at different seasons in our lives, God will impress the same scripture reading, but he would bring it out a different way because of the seasons that our individual lives are going through and the church is going through. Can we say amen? Amen. Amen. So today, God is bringing this out in a different way. It's the same Lot, same Sodom, same Gomorrah. Amen. But we're presented with the help of the Lord with a different a different perspective. Amen. So we're going to read verses 14, and we'll conclude. It's lengthy. We'll conclude by reading verse 25 together. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Verse 14 reads, do we all have it first? If we all say amen.
Amen.
And if somebody don't have it, say wait. Wait. Okay. Wait. Amen. We'll wait till everybody gets it. Amen. And for those who don't have it, it's where? All right, do we all have it now?
Yeah.
Amen. Let us start. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Behold now thy servant have found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. Thou wilt not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. The Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your name on this afternoon. Lord, we can't thank you enough for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we can't thank you enough for you being sovereign in our individual lives and then in our collective life as a church. But Lord, we ask you, Lord, to continue to guide. Lord, continue to lead. Lord, continue to show us the direction that you have us to go. Lord, we ask you to continue to speak. Lord, even as Elijah today, Lord, send us a double portion of your spirit. Father God, whatever condition spiritually we were when we came in church, Lord, we ask you to double that on our way out. And Lord, send your word of anointing, hallelujah, to strengthen us. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Like I said, we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And how that sin was so bad, God said, the cry of the city has come up before me. Amen. But prior to God dealing with Lot, he had, in the end of chapter 18, he had just finished going through the miracle of the birth of Isaac and dealing with Sarah and Abraham. And the Lord was on his way. How many know you got somebody that's godly? God will let them know what's going on in your life before it happened. And God says concerning Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, because Lot was Abraham's nephew. He said, shall I indeed hide from Abraham? How many know you, it's good to have a godly leader? He said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do in Sodom and Gomorrah and with Lot and his family? And the Lord said, well, I know Abraham. Isn't it good to know that God knows what's in us? Yes. I said, isn't it good to know that God knows what's in us? Yes. Everybody else think they know, but God knows. Because God does not look at the outward appearance, but our God looks at our heart. He said, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his family after him to follow after me, to keep the ways of the Lord, to walk in judgment, to walk in righteousness, and most of all, to walk in truth. So God said, I'm going to reveal to Abraham what I'm about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah so that it doesn't catch him by surprise. Amen. So God begins in the latter portion of chapter 18 to reveal to Abraham what he's about to do down in Sodom. And because anybody that's in touch with God, you don't want to see anybody destroyed. Abraham began to reason and to try and negotiate with God. And he said, well, God, if we find 50 righteous, now we're talking about a whole city, amen, but when you really look at the magnitude, it was more than the city, which we'll get to later. He said, if we can find just 50, will you spare the city? God said, if I find 50 righteous, not righteous in their own eyes, but righteous in God's eyes. He said, if I find 50, I will spare the city. And Abraham, as he meditated on, he said, well, God, peradventure, it's possible there's not 50. He said, if we find five less than the 50 or 45, will you spare the city? And Abraham said, well, I know you're God, and shall not. Amen. Can we say shall not?
Shall not.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Isn't it good to know we got a righteous God? God said, well, if I find 45, I'll spare the city. And Abraham continued to negotiate with God to cut it kind of short till they got down to 10. And God told Abraham, he said, if I find 10 righteous, I will spare the city. Amen. So the Lord sends the angels down to Lot's house. And, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah had to be pretty bad. They had to be bad. So he sent the angels down to Lot's house to warn him. Amen. And the men, when, now,
The Bible talks about how that righteous man Lot, amen, vexed his righteous soul from what? Day to day. How did Lot vex his soul? Seeing and hearing all of that ungodly stuff. It vexed him. But Lot did not have the presence of mind to leave that, because he was worried about what he was leaving behind. Saints of God, don't be worried about what you're leaving behind. Get out of it. Hallelujah. If it's a mess, get out of it. If it ain't right, get out of it. It said, vex. It means he was tormented being there. It was so bad when the angel, who were men, appeared at Lot's door, the men of the city said, bring them out that we might know them. You talk about how ungodly that is. Amen. And before they even got to that point, Abraham told him, he said, you cannot stay. This is how bad the situation was. Abraham said, you cannot stay out in the streets. This is a wicked place. He's telling them how bad it is, but he stayed there anyhow. Amen. Saints of God, use your spiritual discernment. When you spiritually know something is bad, don't you stay there. Don't you stay in it. Don't make God have to force you out. You make your own decision to get out. Amen. But Abraham wouldn't even let the men stay in the street because it was so bad. So when he brought them into the house, the old wicked, evil, sinful man said, we want to know them. And Abraham said, no. He said, I have two daughters. You know, it's a bad situation that they have never known men. And they got upset with Abraham. He said, we don't want the girls, we want the guys. You talk about a bad situation. Amen. To the point that the men, the angels, had to snatch Abraham in because they told Abraham, snatch Lot in. They said, we're going to deal worse with you than we're going to do with them. Lord, thank you. When it gets like that, you need to make a move. You don't need to pray about it. You don't need to ask nobody. You don't need to do anything. You need to get out of there. Like Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was messing up, the Bible said Joseph got him out. When you're in a situation and you're compromising your conviction because of someone else, it's time for you to get out. And you don't need nobody else to tell you that. It's in the Word. Amen. So they were so bad that they came upon the house and they struck the man with blindness. And they told they asked Lot, they said, well, do you have anybody else in this city? Amen. Do you have anybody else in this city? And he said, go tell them we're about to destroy the city. Amen. So that brings us up to verse 14, just to fill in the gaps. Amen. So that brings us up to verse 14. And Lot went out. Well, let me give you the message anyway, because it ties in with what Abraham said. Will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? Well, I mean, a lot of times we think we're doing so good and God messing with us. God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked, because the scripture said that God is not unrighteous to forget. Whatever you're doing for God, he will not forget. Why? Because God is righteous and there is no unrighteousness in God. So our message today is, God will do just what he said he will do. I don't know what somebody else is going to do, but I can assure you, when we talk about our God, that he will do just what he said he would do. Now, he told Abraham, he said, I will spare the city if I find 10 righteous. Amen. Now, verse 14 says, and Lot went out in the latter part of this, and his son-in-laws and his daughters seemed like he was one that had lost his mind. You know, when you're dealing with spiritual issues, don't you compromise. Right. When you're dealing with spiritual issues and you're dealing with God, don't you compromise. They tried to make him seem crazy when they said the angel of the Lord had spoke to them. So they tried to make him look crazy. Seemed like he mocked. Verse 15 said, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy what? So how many did he find righteous? He only found four.
right? Abraham, his wife, and two daughters.
God will do just what he. If he had found 10, you can be assured.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
That Solomon and Gomorrah would have been spared. When he didn't find 10, he only found. Therefore, God is going to do just what he said he will do. And verse 16 said, while he lingered. Now, the situation is so bad, they tried to destroy him. What are you doing hanging there?
There's some emotional attachments. There's some substance.
There's some accomplishments that I've done here. It won't let me go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Let those emotional things, let them go. Those possessions, let them go. Yes, we all love our children, hallelujah, and we love the in-laws. But if that's hindering you from doing what God wants you to do, it's time to.
Lot's having problems. Let me go.
Amen. Now, God had already told me, I'm going to destroy the cities. But he stayed there to the point in verse 16 said, and they had to lay hands on him and his daughter and wife and bring them out of the city because of the emotional attachment.
I wonder this afternoon, are we attached emotionally
to something that we know that is basically going to destroy us? But it's hard to let it go. I'm imagining that Lot looked back through the years. He said, well, I've been here for a long time. Do you know my house is here? All of my living is here. Everything that I need is here in Sodom. How can I let it go? No wonder Paul said, if God be for you, you can let it go.
If God be for you, you can let it go because he's more than the whole world against you.
If God be for you, Lot couldn't let it go.
I wonder this afternoon, are we bound in some situation that we know is not of God because we won't?
We won't let it.
We know we displease God. We know God is not happy with it.
But I've been doing this for so long.
Jesus.
And it's hard to let it go.
To let something go when God tells you.
Now, I'm not talking about somebody. I'm not talking about your best friends. I'm not talking about your parents. I'm not even talking about the pastor.
But on Friday, we said, when God speaks to
you.
Lord, thank you.
When God spoke to you, and you know what God has said for you to do,
it's time to let it go.
Amen. Because if God is moving you, he's moving you from a place to a better. Can we say better?
Better.
You can be assured God never takes us to a worse place when we walk in obedience to his word and his will. He was trying to move Lot to a better place, but Lot was still back and couldn't let it go. Amen. Verse 17 said, it came to pass when they had walked them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now God told him to go to the what?
To the mountain.
How many know, most of the time when God tells us to do something, he has a reason for it? I'm not talking about somebody, I'm talking about I've been down praying, hallelujah, and I made contact. And God spoke to me. I know what God said for me to do. Amen. You know what? Don't fight God. Well, Lot began to negotiate a little bit with God at this time. God told him to go where?
To
the mountain. But Lot, amen, as we read verse 18, says, oh, my soul, he said, behold, now my servant has found grace in thy sight, has magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. He said, I can't go to the mountain. Now, let me ask you a good question. If God is taking you out of a bad situation, you think he's going to send you to a worse situation? If God is taking you out of a bad situation. Will I, God, send you to a worse situation? But when you're not altogether clear, when you don't trust in the sovereign will of God, when you're second guessing God, you'll mess up. But God will do just what he said he would do. And this time, Lot is negotiating with God because he said, Lord, you want to send me to the mountains so something can destroy me? And does that sound like my God? Amen. I read about the bishop, late G.T. Haywood said, we try to make spiritual detours when God sends us to do something specific. Amen. If I'm going home and I go on a detour, it might take me a lot longer, but I'm still going to wind up where? At home. If I'm going to Albany and I got detours and I go all around, maybe I have to go 20 or 30 miles out the way, I'm still going to wind up where? In Albany. Well, the great Bishop G.T. Haywood said, we try to take spiritual detours when God tells us to do something. And because God loves us, he said, okay, I give you permission to take the detour. You know why? Because eventually you're going to wind up where God wants you to be anyway. Well, this was the case with Lot. He reasons with God, and God gives him permission. Verse 20 said, behold, now this city is near to thee. And it is a little one. He said, go ahead. He said, okay, go ahead and escape there. And verse 21 said, he said to him, see, I have accepted thee. God said, I accepted what you said. But we're going to find out later when God started doing what he started doing, Lot realized what God had told him in the beginning was best. Amen. God will do what he said he would do. Amen. Verse 21 said, he said to him, see, now I've accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything. Lord, thank you, Jesus. He said, I can't do anything. I can't even begin to send the destruction until you reach your place of refuge or your place of safety. He said, I can't do anything till you come there. Amen. Now, a lot of times when we read about Sodom and Gomorrah, have you heard it's called the Vow of Sodom, or it's called the Plain? God didn't destroy two cities. The plain means it's a bowl or it's a circle. When God destroyed, he destroyed. The plain was, if you read Genesis 14 and verse 3, it talks about the five kings and the five cities. God's plan was to destroy all of the five cities in the Vow of Sodom or in the plain. But because of Lot, God spared one city. A lot of times we read that, we think it's two cities. God destroyed a whole valley because of the sin. But he spared one city because of his servant Lot. Amen. Now, how many know about 911? You know, people come from all over the world to see where the Twin Towers were at and where they fell. Amen. Because of the destruction that happened in what? One day. Well, we're talking about a whole valley. When God rained down the fire, amen, it was so abnormal and never anything seen. 100 times worse than the Twin Towers. When that fire began to fall, all of a sudden, you know, we already know that when it started happening, Lot's wife looked back, amen, and turned into a pillar of salt. But when Lot and his family saw that destruction, Lot said, you know what, I gotta do what God told me to do in the beginning. Lot couldn't stay in that city. Never had anyone seen God rain fire and brimstone from heaven and destroy four whole cities and spare one for his servants in Lot's sake. That's why the scripture says God knows how to deliver. God knows how to deliver the godly. You live right, you don't have to worry about anything. Amen. The psalmist said, a thousand to fall by your side.
but it won't come. Lord, I bless your name.
He said, only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because God knows how to protect his children. Only with your eyes shall you behold to see the reward of the wicked. So a lot of sin is devastation. A lot of sin is burning. They're seeing something that they never have seen in the history of mankind before. God has burned up everything.
To this day, there's no sign of Sodom, Gomorrah. There was another city called, I believe it was Abba. Then there was a city called Zophiah. And then there was a city called Bila, which God changed to Zoar. So all five cities were slated to be destroyed. But didn't God already tell Abraham, he said, I'll spare for the what? Righteous.
So Lot was there, so God could not destroy. Because God will do just what he said. Though it was on his schedule to be destroyed, God could not do it because Lot was there, and God had made Lot and Abraham a promise.
God will do what he said he would do. Verse 28 said, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, talking about Abraham and the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of it burned in such a way it just, from where he was at, and Abraham was a long ways off, he could see the smoke ascending. Never in history had anything like this taken place. Because of the wrath of God on ungodly men that wouldn't do the right thing. So it burned as a smoke of furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that he... What did he remember? The promise.
Didn't he tell Abraham, I won't destroy the righteous with the wicked? So God said he remembered it. He remembered the promise that he made to Abraham.
What he said he would do.
Amen. So he remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities which Lot dwelt in.
And verse 30 said, and Lot went up out of Zoar. When Lot was in Zoar, God tried to spare him seeing this. Amen. Somebody said, well, You know how we like to make stuff up sometimes. Say, well, if Lot would have went all the way up to the mountain, maybe his wife. Right?
Because she looked back, maybe she would not have been destroyed.
But how many know God seeth not as man seeth? God knew. And the reason he gave Lot permission to stop, to take a detour, because her heart was still back inside. Still back in the sin.
Still back in decadence. So God gave Lot permission to stop
so he could prove himself.
He never intended for Lot to stay in Zoar because he had already told him what he wanted him to do.
But he said, okay, Lot, I'm going to give you permission to stay so I can finish separating the wheat from the goat. The sheep from the goat and the wheat from the tares. I hope we don't separate the wheat from the goat.
But he said, I'm going to give you permission so that I can finish doing what I need to do because I'm going to destroy all the wicked.
And his heart, wife's heart, was not right.
So God permitted Lot to have a spiritual detour. He permitted him to stay there long enough so he could cleanse him of all unrighteousness and filthiness of the spirit.
So, and then all of a sudden when Lot saw what happened to his wife and Lot saw what happened in the city,
Lot said, I can't stay here. If he had listened to God in the beginning, he would have never experienced it.
So what happened? He still wound up being where God told him to go. Amen. It says, so Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt where God told him to go in the beginning.
it's so important that we try to disconnect from some of these spiritual detours, these spiritual circumventing. We know it. Listen, every last one of us sitting here today, you can pretend like you don't know. You know what God has said to you. Amen. Too many lies. Too many spiritual negotiators. Too many trying to get around what God has for them to do. So you know what? You have to experience some destruction. You have to experience some hardships that you could have avoided if you would have just done what God told you to do. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And God will do just what he said he would do. He spared Lot. Amen. And in the end, where did Lot wind up? Where God told him to go in. In the beginning. Well, I wonder this afternoon, how many of us are experiencing unnecessary hardships, unnecessary trials, unnecessary burdens, because we won't do what God has told us to do. Amen. We think we had a better way. I can guarantee you one thing, when Lot saw that whole valley destroyed, you know it's amazing when two twin towers go down in one day, and everybody from all over the world goes to see that. I wish he had some airplanes and stuff back there then. I wish he had some newspaper reporters back there then to see, so they could see the destruction that happened. It was so massive that Lot said, I cannot stay in this valley. Lot concluded, you know what I'm going to do? Just what God told me to do. I wonder how many of us are in Zoar today on a temporary stop. Because we won't go where God told us to go. You know, it's something about thinking about the mountains. Where did God meet Moses? At the Mount of God. It's something about the mountains. Hallelujah. When we do what God tells us to do. Where did Moses receive the commandments? At the Mount of God. God knows when you do what he tells you to do. When you go to the mountain, he's taking you from a level plane to a higher ground. That's why we used to sing the song, Lord, take me up. Anybody want to go up? Lord, take me higher. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't want to stay here. It's time to go to the mountain. He told the children of Israel, you dwelled here long enough. It's time for you to go up. God is not a man that he should lie, and neither is he the son of man. Now, you can try and do what you want to do. You can think you can outwit God and change God's mind, but I can assure you that God will do just what he said. Now, the only difference is this. I can get my blessing in a short time, or I can get it in a long time. But the difference depends on me. It depends on my obedience. Amen. God is going to do what he said he would do. I don't care how you negotiate it. I don't care how many lots there are to try to get around what God has for them. God's going to do it. Did not the scripture say, if God spoke it, shall he not bring it to pass? If we know that God has spoken some things in our lives, why are we troubled? Why are we cast down? Why do we act like we don't have any hope? Amen. I like what Paul told the Corinthian church. He said, you're going through some hard times. You're going through some trouble, some perplexities, some persecutions. You're being cast down. You're destroyed all the day long. But he said, but all these things are for your sake. Everything this afternoon that we experience is for our sake. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. He said, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are unseen. Because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Lord, I'm just waiting on you to do just what you said you would do. I don't want to negotiate anymore. Lord, I just want
Can we say just what he said? God is not a man. And the problem that we have, the reason most of us can't trust God, we keep trying to see God through our eyes. Never will happen. It'll never happen. God does not see as. God doesn't look like we look. God doesn't reason like we reason. The scripture says his ways are past. Finding out. Paul said, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has instructed him? Who has told God what to do? It's time to surrender. You know, for years, a lot of us have been in a mess. In a mess for years. You know why you're in a mess? Because you won't surrender. God takes you to the right in your stubbornness and obstinacy, you go to the left. God is tired of you being on one spiritual plane, so God is trying to take you to another spiritual plane, but you are afraid of the mountains, just like God. Your obstinacy, your stubbornness, your unwillingness to surrender is delaying your blessing. If we ever get to the point where we can just say like Jesus, you know, in the beginning, I mean, who likes to suffer? Anybody like to suffer? I didn't think so. I know I don't, but tell you the truth. I'll deal with it, but it's not my preference. Jesus is not going to suffer that physical torture on the cross. So he said, Lord, if it be possible. But how many know God had already had a plan? There was no circumventing that plan. Jesus said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup, what was in the cup? Suffering. Yeah, you know, that's what was in the cup. You ever read that scripture in Psalms, where the psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? He said, I'll take the what? You know what's in the cup? Suffering. That's why Jesus did not want the cup. So, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, that's all right for Jesus. I heard somebody say, if you don't suffer with him, he won't reign with him. Jesus said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't pray at one time, but then at the end, he realized God's going to do just. He's going to do just what he said. Jesus was, God wrapped himself in that flesh as Jesus for one purpose, to save us from our sins. So there was no retreat. There was no getting around it. Hallelujah. The flesh was crying out because the flesh does not like to suffer. Lot lingered because of the flesh. Because I heard the scripture say the flesh is contrary to the spirit. And the spirit to the flesh. These two are contrary one against the other. The flesh, it doesn't like to submit to God. It doesn't like to surrender. The flesh always wanted to be my way. But then after the flesh stopped fighting God, divinity spoke, stepped in and said, Lord, not my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. I wonder how many today are tired of suffering by yourself. I wonder how many this afternoon are tired of the destruction that's all around them. Fearful and afraid. Amen. Hey, go to Psalms 91. We're going to finish here. We're going to do Psalms 91. This is a psalm I heard the late evangelist man said through his hardships. He said this psalm always got him through. Because God makes us a promise. There is something about the promises of God that a man, woman, or no one else can supplant. The first verse says, he that what? Dwelleth. Anybody ready to dwell in God's presence?
one-on-one relationship with God? Anybody want to be like Paul said that I may know him? Anybody want to be experiencing that this afternoon? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall wait on our mind under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my God, in him will I. What are we talking about? We're talking about God. I said God can be to you what no one else can be. God can be for you what no one else can be. But you got to trust. The reason that we can't surrender is because we don't trust God. Amen. Verse 3 said, surely. We want something sure. You know what? You don't have to guess. Surely he will what? Deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the poison. It can happen all around you, but God will deliver you. Why is God going to deliver me? Because I trust him. Do you trust God? Fourth verse says, he shall cover thee with his, and under his wings shalt thou, his truth shall be thy shield and thy. This buckle means a high tower, and I heard Proverbs say, the name of the Lord is a high tower that the righteous can run into it and be safe. I don't have no safety, I don't have no security. You need the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I heard him say, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, where do I run in a time of trouble? Where do I go in a time of need? I run to the rock. And Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Lord, when everything else is coming down, I stand on the rock. The Lord will make a way. Hallelujah. Said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for what's happening in the daytime. That will happen all around you. God is with you. But you got to trust. And God will do just what? A lot of times we question, can God? God will do. And you can be like, lot and negotiate, but eventually, guess where you're going to wind up? On the mountain. When you stop trying to reason with God through your eyes and you accept God's perfect will, you're going to wind up just where God told you to go as the elders and the ministers come forward. Amen. Through the years, the longer you're saved and the longer you trust Jesus, you realize that every day, can we say every day?
Every day.
Does everyone stand? Every day when Jesus is, if your salvation isn't getting sweeter, the problem is not God. The problem is you're fighting too much. It's time to surrender. It's time to let God have his way. Experiencing unnecessary hardships and trials because we're trying to do it our way. The minute we get to the point where we surrender all, as the praise team sang the song earlier today, Lord, I give myself away. Whenever you get to the point where you truly give yourself away, when you make God one, number one, when you won't allow anything to get between you and God, then you will experience a joy, a peace of mind that is unimaginable. We as humans have the tendency to always blame everything on everybody else. When I heard the scripture say, if a man ways, please the Lord. Can we say, please the Lord? Come on, please the Lord. If a man reigns, please the Lord, he will make everything else in your life be alright. Even your enemies will be at peace.
complete